Hello and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies with your speaker, Chris McCann. If you'd like more information or to hear more studies, visit our website at www.ebiblefellowship.com. And now with your evening Bible study, here's Chris McCann.
Good evening and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Bible Study in the Book of Revelation. Tonight is study number 14 of Revelation chapter 9, and we're continuing to look at verse 5. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. We saw in our last study that the reference to 5 months is a spiritual reference. That is, it is not a literal 5 months, but 5 months represents the duration of judgment day. And we have learned that there is a very good likelihood that judgment day will continue for 1600 days. And just as 7 months in 1 Samuel 6:1 typified the duration of the Great Tribulation period, which in actual time turned out to be 8,400 days. And so when we put the two periods of time together, the two figures, 7 months and 5 months, we get 1 year of vengeance or 1 year of judgment in a figure. It's much longer than that. And likewise, when we put the actual time together, we also come to a number that fits together perfectly with one another, 8,400 days and 1,600 days, total 10,000 days, and 10,000 would point to the completeness of the judgment. Well, let's continue now in looking at the rest of Revelation 9:5, the second part of the verse. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And this is referring to the locusts. And the locusts typify the true believers, God's elect, that God is using as a weapon in his hand to bring about the judgment of the unsaved, because God has saved all those that are to be saved. And the Lord is also using his people to share truth from the Bible in the day of judgment, which will bring torment to those that hear it. Well, their torment was as the torment of a scorpion. We looked at this when we were studying verse 3 of Revelation 9. Remember, it says there, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And that led us to look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And this is referring to the 70, those who went forth two by two with the word of God. Christ gave his people power over the power of the enemy, the serpents and scorpions. So serpents and scorpions represent the enemy. They're part of Satan's kingdom, and they would identify with false prophets and with those that do not have the truth, with those that bring gospels that cannot save. And therein is the similarity or the likeness, and why God says that their torment was as the torment of a scorpion. He's not saying the locusts are scorpions, but when God's people who are typified by locusts begin to share the truth from the Bible in the day of judgment, as God reveals these things according to Romans 2:5, the day of wrath and the righteous revelation of the judgment of God. And as God does reveal truths from the Bible, there is going to be one thing that is drastically different than at any other time in history. And that is that the truths from the Bible will have no power to save. It's the situation we find ourselves in today, the spiritual condition that the world is placed in when God shut the door of heaven, when he put out the light of the gospel. And now the Lord's people are on the earth living in the day of judgment, still studying the Bible, still coming to truth as God reveals truth to them, but that truth has no power to save, no power to translate a sinner out of darkness and into the light, because God's program of salvation has been concluded. And as a result, this makes the true gospel that the true believers are understanding and the true gospel that the Bible teaches similar to false gospels, as false gospels have never had any power to save. They've never changed a person's spiritual condition from darkness to light. But now God has ended that program of salvation and leaving the true gospel without power to save, for the simple reason there is no more people to save. And yet he can say that the locusts bring torment as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Now the Greek word translated striketh is interesting word. It's found five times in the New Testament, four times in the gospel accounts, twice in two different gospels, in Matthew 26 verse 68 and Luke 22 64, when they smote Jesus. They smote him on the face when Christ was turned over for trial, when he was betrayed by Judas and taken in for trial. Jesus was smitten. And also it's found twice in connection with the high priest servant having his ear cut off. And it says in Mark 14:47 and John 18 verse 10, I think, that they smote the high priest servant. And that's when his ear was cut off. So four times it's smite or smote, and one time it's likened to a scorpion when he striketh a man. Now I don't know what we can make from that, except it's interesting that the high priest servant had his ear cut off, and that could point to when someone loses an ear, they can't hear out of that ear. And that points to being deaf, and deafness in the Bible would spiritually point to someone who's not saved, as the deaf and the dumb and the blind and the lame typify individuals that are not saved. And that's why when Christ would heal their blindness or deafness, it was a picture of salvation. And in the other couple of instances, when the enemies of Christ smite the Lord Jesus, well, we can see how that would relate to scorpions and serpents who are enemies of the kingdom of God, and they strike a man. And so it is a negative thing. We can gather that when a scorpion strikes a man. And here the gospel, the teaching of the Bible, that the true believers are learning as God opens and continues to open the scripture to their understanding in the day of wrath and righteous revelation of the judgment of God. And we have learned many things at this period of time in these days after that tribulation, that as God does reveal truth to his people and his people share these things, well, they are bringing torment as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man, or as if it was striking men dumb and or deaf. And it was bringing no salvation. And that's the one element that is in view that we can understand, that locusts are likened to scorpions, and later on the 200 million will be likened to serpents. So both of those creatures that are mentioned in Luke 10:9 are brought together in Revelation chapter 9, and the locusts are identified with scorpions, and the 200 million are identified with serpents, because God's elect are sharing information wherein there is no power to save. And this is similar to every false gospel, every gospel of the enemy of the kingdom of God lacks power to save. They've always lacked power to save, and now the true gospel is like them in that manner at this time. Well, let's just look at one more place where we've been looking at the word torment, and we find torment used two more times in Revelation 9:5. In the last part of the verse, their torment was as the torment of a scorpion. Now, this is Strong's number 929. The earlier reference to torment in verse 5 was Strong's number 928. Now, there's another Greek word that's Strong's 931, and it's closely related to these two words, and it's found in Luke chapter 16. And in Luke 16, the Lord gives us the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. And I'm going to read from verse 19 in Luke chapter 16. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Now I'm going to stop reading there. And in this parable, I just want to look at certain teachings that we find here. We find, for instance, that there are some principles that the Lord Jesus is laying down about the condition of hell. Now, it's a parable, and so it speaks of hell as a place. In hell, he lift up his eyes. But we know that there is no place, that there is no place that God will create called hell and cast man into it. Although we can say, based on what we have learned already from Revelation 9, that God, when he opened up the bottomless pit, and the smoke rose out of the pit and came upon the earth, that the condition of hell was therefore brought upon every unsaved inhabitant of the earth. And I suppose in some ways we could say that the earth has become hell, and that is about as close as to a place that we could ever get, that at this time in Judgment Day, the unsaved people of the world have been placed in the condition of hell. Now, in this parable of Luke 16, we're going to read of a man who is in hell, and we will learn some basic principles concerning the condition of hell. And let's see how they match, how well they identify with what God is doing today at this time. First of all, it says that he's in torments. And we saw in verse 23, and the man said in verse 24, I am tormented in this flame. And verse 25, Abraham said, he is comforted and thou art tormented. And again, this is a slightly different Greek word, but it is closely related to Strong's 928 and 929 in Revelation 9:5. And God identifies what he is doing today to the world as he pours out his wrath and he gives them the cup to drink of the wrath of God. He identifies the world as being tormented by the locust. So we have that similarity, that the rich man in hell is tormented. And we learn from other scriptures that it doesn't mean torture. It means that the word of God is being declared and the word of God is pronouncing judgment and condemnation and so forth. It is the word of God that is the instrument that brings unsaved man torment or troubles the mind of the unsaved. And notice it says in verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes being in torments and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So the rich man somehow has the ability to look up and see the saved, as Abraham and Lazarus are pictures of God's elect. Of course, Abraham here is being used as a type of the Father, but Lazarus is certainly representative of God's elect. And he sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Therefore, he sees Lazarus comforted. He sees Lazarus in a better condition. Now, let's go back to Luke 13. And there's another passage where Christ is speaking, and he says in Luke 13, verse 24, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in, and shall not be able, when once the master of the house is risen up, and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without, and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Now, here, God is saying the door is shut. We know that statement identifies with May 21, 2011, after the 23-year Great Tribulation period. God shut the door on the underlying Hebrew calendar date of 217 matches what day the flood came, and God shut the door of the ark before the flood came. And so God was emphasizing on that day, 7,000 years later from the flood, on that day after the Great Tribulation has ended, I will shut the door of heaven, and just as I secured the safety of all in the ark, I am securing the safety of all my elect. And just as all outside of the ark perished as a result of no longer being able to enter into the ark, so too will all outside of the safety of Christ perish in the prolonged day of judgment in this period we're now living in. And so the door is shut. And then notice it says in verse 28 of Luke 13, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and you yourselves thrust out. Well, now we have an agreement. We have a similarity in Luke 16 with the rich man. Somehow he's mysteriously able to look up and see Lazarus, who typifies the elect, in Abraham's bosom, which of course would picture in the kingdom of God. And in Luke 13, in the context of the door shut, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when those individuals that are saying, Lord, Lord, they're outside the kingdom, just like the rich man in hell is outside the kingdom. And when they see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets, and you see how can we understand this or relate this to May 21 and these days after? Well, because the Bible is teaching that God has saved everyone of his elect, all whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life to be saved, have been saved. Therefore, not seeing with physical eyes, but hearing these things, understanding what is being taught by the Bible, and then hearing God's people proclaim that God has completed his salvation program, there is no more to be saved. This is what is in view by the language that they see all the prophets in the kingdom of God. And this is hand in hand with a weeping and gnashing of teeth. It provokes anger when people hear the door is shut and God is no longer saving. They don't like that at all because they see these things in the sense that God is referring to. Likewise, the rich man can see Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. So we have a similar teaching in Luke 16, which is describing the condition of hell. Now, let's look at another thing. In verse 24 of Luke chapter 16, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Now here, we just read that once the door is shut, what did it say in Luke 13? Once the door is shut, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able when once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. That's another way of saying, give me some water. Give me some water. It's a similar desire for salvation. The opening of the door, or if you're tormented in a flame and you want a little water, it's really a similar spiritual picture, as the water typifies the gospel. And the man is saying even, have mercy on me. Have mercy. And so we see, just as God says in Luke 13, that many will be knocking, this man in the condition of hell, this rich man, is knocking, in a sense, at the door of heaven. He is asking God for mercy. And if God were to have mercy, why, it would transport him out of that condition of hell. He would have the water that he sought. And so we see a second similarity with the condition of hell and what God is doing today in the world in the condition of hell, when a man is in the condition of hell, he will seek water or he will seek the opening of the door of heaven, and it will not happen. And isn't it amazing? And isn't it incredible how what circumstances we presently find ourselves in matches perfectly with these teachings of the Bible? We find that here we are in the day of judgment when God is pouring out his wrath and people are still attempting to get saved. They're still attempting to find a little mercy, to have a little drink of water. And that's another thing. But notice that he doesn't ask for a large cup of water. No, he's asking for the least thing. He's asking for the littlest amount of water possible. Have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. That is, just allow the slightest bit of salvation. Just the slightest bit. And if we were to apply that picture to the door shut, just allow the door to be cracked open the slightest bit. Just so a fraction of an inch. So it's not completely shut. Of course, we've seen people arguing these things. Everyone has their own particular, not everyone, but several people have presented their own particular ideas as to why God is still saving in a little way. For instance, children, that's a very sensitive area and a very emotional area, and people want to open the door and make sure there's a little water for children that are born after May 21, 2011. And actually, children born after May 21 could possibly be saved because they would have been in the womb. It actually would extend the possibility of God saving a child would extend 9 months after May 21 until children conceived after May 21 and then born 9 months later. Well, that's a different story. And so there are some, well, certainly God will have mercy, but God indicates that when he brings his judgment, there will be judgment without mercy. Remember what he says concerning children in Isaiah 13 in verse 17 and 18. Behold, I will stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver. And as for gold, they shall not delight in it. Their bows also shall dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eye shall not spare children. And the Lord even emphasizes this all the more in Ezekiel 14 when he discusses Noah, Daniel, and Job in the land in the time of his wrath. And he says that they could not deliver neither sons nor daughters. And he states that three times. It is God's purpose. There are no exceptions. The door is shut. The condition of hell has come upon the world.
Thanks for joining us for eBible Fellowship's Evening Bible Studies. You can hear these studies Monday through Friday over Pal Talk, Skype, eBible Fellowship's webcast audio, or over your phone. For more information or to hear other studies, visit www.ebiblefellowship.com. Until our next study, may the Lord's perfect will be done.